are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns, or at least as best you can in that moment, by getting the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads.
You're going to talk to the kids.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime.
See if they want to be VIP.
You know what I'm going to do is, I think you were on to something. The kid, I think that's the last read of the day. They're home from school at that point. I think that's...
Because right now, it's education time. It's,
I still think there's a few minutes of education. Maybe the bell's about to ring in 30 seconds. I'm not sure. Not sure exactly.
Peanut butter sandwiches have been consumed.
That's right. Well, that's at Megan Rock School. That's where it's all peanut butter sandwiches.
Yes. Have been downed.
Yes. All right. We're going to do a little after further review. But before we do that, let's go. Do we get Tim in Virginia, Jason? Steve in Akron. My bad. Steve.
Steve.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just stuck in traffic on 77 in Akron. Just downloaded the app while I was stuck. So good job on that.
First, I didn't think you said stuck in traffic. I thought you were commenting. You were cursing the traffic. I was like, wait a second.
Oh, no.
You sound very patient for a guy who's sitting in traffic in Akron. Good for you.
I got to download the app. Checking up.
And so it's working.
But,
all right.
I want to go back to what you said. I caught bits and pieces of Farmer's press conference, and he said that he was going to go after the best, not what we need, but the best player, correct?
He alluded to that.
Pretty much being open to that.
Right.
I think with the fourth pick, the best player available will be Sammy Watkins. And why don't we take him? I haven't heard much talk of the Browns taking Watkins with the fourth pick and picking up a quarterback, maybe with our second pick in the first round or even our second round pick.
Well, I mean, those are plausible scenarios that you're putting out there, Steve. You said you haven't heard anything about it yet. That doesn't mean you won't going forward, because I think it's just because where we are. We're still in February. The combine's next week. Let's see how these guys go through their workouts. Let's see what the collective grades are as we go forward. We're going to do the same thing on this show, breaking things down, and maybe those cases and those scenarios could be made. I think the Browns could go any possible way, and I believed that was the case even before all the talk of quarterback for four. I wasn't totally sold that they were going to do that necessarily at four, and then address those other positions later. As you pointed out, maybe they go for the receiver earlier than that if he's really dynamic. Or they trade down and collect an extra pick and get the guy they want at a lower part of the draft. There's with 10 picks and what, two in the first round and seven in the first three rounds, there are any number of scenarios available to this team, and we're going to probably cover them all between now and May.
Yes, there are a lot of scenarios, and I think that, you know, having a guy like Ray Farmer now as a general manager perhaps brings a Kirk Cousins more into play, and they might decide they want to go the route of assembling the best receivers, because if you looked at Chicago last year, one thing that jumped out to you was that when Josh McCown took over and he had Alshon Jeffrey and he had Brandon Marshall, he was able to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think 13 touchdowns, one interception. So there is that philosophy. I believe the Browns are in a unique position to get a quarterback early and still get a receiver at the end of the first round. The depth at wide receiver is unparalleled in this draft, and have the best of both worlds. That's what I'd like to see them do. What they do will remain to be seen. All right, time to go for a little after further review.
After further review.
All right, afternoon, gentlemen. Question number one, are you concerned with the so-called negative perceptions of the Browns franchise in light of what has happened over the past month and a half?
Well, I'm probably a little less concerned now than I was before. I did think it was an impediment, clearly, in the coaching search and perhaps beyond that, because the next thing you get into is signing free agents and dealing with people. Usually money is the only determinant when it comes to signing a free agent. It will always trump any other issues players might have about where they're going. But if things are equal, which occasionally happens, it's not frequent, then I thought it was a potential problem if guys weren't sure about stability here, and they still may not be, but I think the most recent move might have quelled some of those concerns.
Yep. I'm not concerned about it. The fact, all I'm concerned about is this team winning football games.
Yeah.
So, after further review.
Question number two, gentlemen. What is the one thing that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin need to be on the same page with before anything else happens?
They've got to be on the same page about the system fits to both the defense and offense that this team's going to play. And they've got to have a really good profile of how the multiple front defense works, who is right for that. Can Barkevious Mingo make that transition successfully? Because you're going to ask him to play inside a lot more now. That's a body change for him. He's got to get bigger. You've heard Mike Pettin talk about that. And finding the right players from the draft and free agency to do that. And on the offensive side, the whole outside zone scheme, run zone scheme that they have, blocking, the linemen have to be the right fits for that. The running back or backs have to be the right fits for that. I'm positive you don't have enough of them now. You better be on the exact same page to know exactly who fits that.
In my opinion, what they need to get on the same page about is what they both feel the top needs are for this team from a personnel standpoint. And once they understand the top needs, be on the same page about what the best way is to fill those needs or allow Ray Farmer to decide the best way to fill those needs. But I think, to me, it's an assessment of this roster, an assessment of what they want to do offensively and defensively, and understanding the positions that are of primary importance in order to make this thing work and get wins.
After further review...
Question number three, guys. You are Ray Farmer. Who are you taking with the number four pick in the NFL draft?
I have a change from the last time I was asked this question after further film study, and the answer I will present at this moment is Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback, Louisville.
I would have no problem with that if Teddy Bridgewater were there. I am skeptical about his availability there. So I'm inclined to say that the fourth pick would be Blake Bortles. I'd go with, because I think he is going to be there, as would be as Johnny Manziel will be there. And as of right now, I'm inclined to go with Blake. And I think I like Blake a little better still than I like Teddy, and you and I have talked about this. I reserve the right to change that opinion. The combine, I'm going to pay attention to a lot of things. Even if they're not throwing there, we'll get some good profile information. And then as we get into on-campus workouts and talking to scouts galore and getting grades done. So I'm
it's a changing process, and I mean, yeah. I'm going through and I want to watch every snap of every one of these quarterbacks.
The tape doesn't change, but opinions.
But no, opinions can change. A lot can change. Yeah. And as you get into it, I know a lot's been going on. You haven't had the time to sit down and just watch game after game after game after game.
Who's in charge?
So that's right. All right. Want to get some of your tweets right now at Browns_daily. One of this is an interesting one from at GI George said, I expected the national media to have a different take on the Browns shakeup, but I don't get the malicious comments.
Yeah, well, but aren't they kind of a fact of social media life?
They are, absolutely.
Aren't malicious comments, isn't that a redundancy?
Haters
with Twitter?
Gonna hate, yes. And here's from Tim Lanier 1. He says, each regime deserves 3 years. New idea. Try stability. It works.
And Kevin from Twitter at BKD_radio says that he just sent me a link from Buckeye State Sports that the Sammy Watkins selection at the Browns pick, the scenario that a caller had inquired about earlier, has already been put out there by some people. So, okay, that's fine.
I would not be mad about that.
I wouldn't either. And we'll see if that gets some national traction.
We will see. And then here's the last one that we're going to read right now from at Orlando Browns Backers. My take, for the first time in a long time, the Browns are not a retirement resort / payday for formerly relevant coaches. There is youth now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. I like that. There's a lot of hunger on this coaching staff.
There's youth.
There's no doubt.
That leads to, you're right, ambition, hunger, energy, all of those things. But don't get so caught up in sort of the age of the group to say that that's some kind of magical way to success. You still need the experience hand and the guidance from above. And look, the winning team, the team that won the Super Bowl in overwhelming fashion, was led by a 62-year-old head coach who has seen it all, and a guy that I remember covering as a defensive backs coach in the early 80s with the Buffalo Bills, Pete Carroll. And Pete sets a tone for an organization that is about as energetic and youthful as anything I've ever seen. He's a lot older than even me.
But he has that chip on his shoulder and that hunger from failed experiences in the past.
Well,
it wasn't.
But it's in his DNA.
A resting on my success laurels coach.
But I don't think he ever has. But he had a hell of a lot of success at USC. I'm just saying it's in his DNA.
Yeah,
he loves his passion for this game. This is the same guy between gigs, between his last NFL job and where he took at USC. We talked about he jumped into wanting to get into when the early stages of NFL.com and content, providing content. He had this whole content plan for evaluating players, and it was brilliant. And we ended up meeting in New York. I was in Buffalo, but I mean, met him in New York, sat down with a guy named Chris Russo, who at the time oversaw the digital content for NFL.com, and they loved the idea. Pat Kerwin was involved in this as well, and Pete and Pat are joined at the hip. They're very close, and they worked together with the Jets. And I saw the passion in Pete in that realm, and then all of a sudden the USC gig comes up. He's Mr. Nobody when he gets in there, and then turns that into national championship heaven, and then goes to Seattle and initially received as he's just trying to stay ahead of the law because USC's getting all these sanctions from the NCAA, and takes them to a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Pretty energetic guy.
Very energetic guy.
So energy is good.
Yesterday, by the way, said that he thought what the Browns did was very good.
He was not a fan of the structure here.
Yep.
On many occasions, he told me that. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
All right. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.